News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
So to the members of the flotilla who have been expelled from Israel, they are on the process of returning to Ireland. Caoimhe Butterley is with us. She's sailed with the flotilla before for 5 weeks on a support and observer vessel. Caoimhe, from having spoken to the Irish who were part of that flotilla, what's the reports that you've received in terms of the treatment they received?
Good morning. We're here in Istanbul, so we spent most of last night up until about 5 a.m. with the over 430 people who were getting medical screenings and legal depositions done. And the reports, frankly, have been shocking. I've been involved in Palestine advocacy work for many years, but the accounts of physical, psychological, and sexual violence were systematic. And having interacted with people on an age range from 18 years old to young students to a 79-year-old grandmother, it was really clear that the violence that was used didn't spare anybody. So people were shaking as they were describing the treatment. I met a young social worker with two black eyes, with fractured ribs. People talked about sleep deprivation, sexual violence, over 15 counts of serious sexual assaults so far. Just people were in shock.
Can you give us some of the instances of what they described?
People described imprisonment on one of two converted cargo ships or prison ships. One was described as much worse than the other. I spoke to one healthcare worker friend from the US, a mother of a five-year-old back home who described preparing herself for death. She was taken into a cargo container, surrounded by five male soldiers, held by her hair, and as she described it, pummeled to unconsciousness. Other people described being forced to witness the sexual assault of colleagues by men on male soldiers, assaulting male participants. An Irish participant described her shirt being cut off of her with a knife and being held in a stressed position until nearly fainting. And again, an expectation or a preparation for the possibility of rape. And when I say across the board, I mean, there were also politicians on board, there were journalists, and there was no differentiation even with an expectation that perhaps that level of brutality wouldn't be visited upon people who could then go home and escalate and advocate. It was very disturbing to witness the condition that people came back in.
You mentioned the medical screening, Caoimhe. What is the list of injuries thus far?
So broken bones, over 50 people with broken arms, broken ribs, clavicles. A dear French, Algerian friend of mine who was a captain of one of the boats, Malika, an arm broken, with numerous fractures, who arrived back on a stretcher. Concussions, including by a medic friend who was basically hog-tied. She's a woman, and then thrown with such force that she had no way to protect her head. So she landed head first on concrete. Other medics around her who were also handcuffed, trying to offer medical assistance denied.
Sorry, just go back for a minute just so I have a sense of the numbers. How many people did you say have already been medically screened at this point?
So all 430 went through a screening process last night and a legal statement gathering. Of those, I would say perhaps a couple of dozens hospitalized, and some of those will be released today.
But what you're saying then, just with those numbers, that means that 1 in 8 of the people who were deported have either a broken arm or a broken collarbone.
Yes. But I would also emphasize that it's not just broken bones. It's also, the physical the visibility of the abuse was literally on almost everybody that I met. So whether it was black eyes or, you could just see where the plastic cuffs had been. And this is something that people described as something that was very deliberate. And the word that was used repetitively last night was sadistic violence. So,
but one in eight with broken arms or broken collarbones, that seems extraordinary.
Or fractures. So it was, it was the boarding itself of the boats in combination with then the prison boats. So rubber bullets were used in the interception of a number of boats. Tasers were used as well. I don't know if you saw, there was sort of a picture that went viral online in which you could see somebody who had been repeatedly tasered all over his back and neck.
And do you know at this stage, Caoimhe, if it's one in eight in average of the 430 who have come back with a broken arm or a broken collarbone, how many of the Irish have broken arms and broken collarbones?
None. So there is a possible concussion, but people are bruised. Again, I'd like to differentiate between the two cargo ships. So fortunately, a lot of the Irish participants were on the first cargo converted prison ship, which was by chance. It wasn't deliberate. It depended on the time in which their boats were intercepted. It was the second cargo ship that we're hearing the most alarming reports from. And a lot of the participants on that ship were from Global South countries.
And how many were on that ship?
A lot of Malaysian. I don't know the numbers. The 430 were divided between the two ships. And people, again, when I refer to sensory deprivation, sleep deprivation, a lot of people came out of the experience quite stunned. They didn't know who had been imprisoned, who hadn't been, they hadn't seen each other. A lot of people describe, particularly during the visit of Ben-Gvir, being forced to keep their heads down completely over the course of a day. And every time they try and look up or stretch their necks, either being hit in the head or screamed at or intimidated.
But that means the level of brutality. I mean, if that's a 50-50 split-ish, I mean, I assume it's, as you say, about half the people ended up on that. That means that one in four of the people on that cargo vessel had their arm broken or had their collarbone broken?
I went to sleep at 5 a.m. So I've had exactly 1.5 hours sleep. So my maths are a little bit boggy, but I'm going to trust that you are doing the maths correctly here. There was a level of systematic violence, whatever the statistics of that were vis-a-vis broken bones. What for me at this stage is actually more alarming is the culture of impunity that existed around that there was very clear indications from all of the preemptive media work that went on, from the participants describing their motivations for this flotilla, that people were not a threat. They were sailing literally with baby formula and humanitarian aid. And as somebody who has been, who was sailing with them for those 5 weeks, I really met the best of humanity. You know, there were, as mentioned, social workers, healthcare workers, artists, carpenters, a 79-year-old grandmother. You know, they were people who were moved by the horror of what they have been witnessing in Gaza live stream for 3 years. So to see people then come out the other side of this experience, literally in some cases disassociative. In other cases, people minimized it, were hugging each other and laughing. But at its most extreme edge, I think that there, it's very clear that this was green lighted. It doesn't feel like, this was an anomaly.
Caoimhe, thank you very much. Caoimhe Butterley there, who spent a significant amount of time with the flotilla in an observer capacity and was talking to us from Istanbul. 53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.